White, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. August 18, 1903. Elder W.C. White. My dear son, this morning we received the Australian mail. The Echo office sent me a draft for about $500, royalty from book sales. This money comes at a time when we greatly need it, for we have been somewhat troubled and did not know just what to do in order to secure some means. This that has come can be divided among the workers, and we will make it go as far as possible. I thought I would let all have a portion. I hope that more will come in ere long. I do not intend, however, to worry over money matters. Early tomorrow morning, I expect to start for Healdsburg. The brethren there have sent for me. I hope to have an interview with Brother Jones while I am in Healdsburg. I do not think that he is the man who should be chosen to teach students. Those who educate our youth need a mold of character different from that which he possesses. Our teachers should be men whose qualifications peculiarly fit them for such work. I am very sorry that Brother Jones has accepted the position of president of the school to be opened in Battle Creek. He needs to place himself more fully under the refining influence of the Spirit of Christ. He needs to weigh matters more carefully and to study from cause to effect. Every believer is now in need of being sanctified wholly, body, soul, and spirit. The ministerial evangelist who engages in the canvassing work is performing a service fully as important as that of preaching the gospel before a congregation Sabbath after Sabbath. God looks upon the faithful evangelistic canvasser with as much approval as he looks upon any faithful minister. Both workers have light, and both are to shine in their respective spheres of influence. God calls upon every man to cooperate with the great medical missionary worker and to go forth into the highways and byways. Each man, in his particular line of service, has a work to do for God. Such laborers, if converted, are true missionaries. Missionaries are needed in workshops. As they toil, they may realize that they are representing Christ and his mission on this earth. In every phase of physical labor, God requires his agencies in missionary lines of effort to speak a word at the right time, to caution, to warn, to learn how to adapt themselves to the situation in which they find themselves, and in every respect to be representatives of Christ's great medical missionary work. When Christ was living on this earth, how surprised would have been his associates if, after becoming acquainted with him, they had heard him utter one word of impatience, one word of accusation, or of fault-finding. He expects those who love him and believe in him to represent him in character. Although a man may be able to educate others to act as they should, yet if he does not glorify God himself with his lips, he had better first reveal in word and deed that he has received power to become a child of God, an heir of the kingdom, before attempting to teach others. After receiving his life insurance papers as a member of the elect of God, his great desire henceforth will be to reveal Christ's presence to his fellow men in missionary fields. Only those whose hearts are filled with the love of God, and who reveal that Christ has given them his grace to adorn their office work as missionaries for him, should make application to engage in medical missionary work. Those who take up this line of missionary effort should look upon their work as a high and holy calling. This work is committed to them as a sacred trust, and wherever they may be, the Lord expects them to reveal the excellency of their mission. Never are medical missionaries to falsify or to make untrue statements in order to bring about certain ends and to accomplish certain purposes. For to everyone who stoops to engage in such a work, God, who reads the heart, will say, I know his works. His good deeds do not excuse his sinful works. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, a sad moral fall, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 2 to 5.
Will those who have fallen repent? Some will, and some will not. I have felt very sad when I have heard men who have stood as educators and as guardians of sacred trusts, but who, while others were confessing wrongs, have said, I mean to change my course, but I will not confess, for to confess would bring me into disgrace. And this excuse is made by some whose wrong actions have resulted in terrible injury to the cause of God. They declare that they will never confess. A day is coming when they will make a confession of their evil deeds, but it will be too late then to help matters. Every such an one will lose his own soul, and cause many others to lose their souls, because of his efforts to avoid being known as one who has confessed his sins. On account of his selfishness and pride, he will not yield and humble himself and repent. True repentance embraces much. Without humility, confession is worthless. In the third of Revelation is brought to view a most earnest work that must be done. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and known the truth, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verses 1 to 3. Let not those whose characters are defective, those who have known the truth, refuse to humble their proud hearts. Even though they may be standing in positions of responsibility, let them repent. The Lord will surely remove his protection from those who dishonor him. There will come a time when they will pass the boundary line, and then the Lord will reveal that he knows all about the evil works so dishonoring to his name. He is ashamed of him who, instead of repenting, climbs upon the judgment seat and threatens to coerce his brethren. He is ashamed of him who, refusing to make crooked things straight, hurts his brethren. The candlestick is removed out of his place. The Lord Jesus, who has been so merciful toward him and has done so much for him, is dishonored. For in the estimation of such a man, no distinction is made between the righteousness of the righteous and the wickedness of the wicked. Those who act as sinners will be punished as such, unless they repent. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Then follow the impressive words, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 4 to 6. Let all give careful attention to this instruction. Let those who have a name that they live, but who are dead, heed these words of mercy and encouragement and warning. Be watchful, ye stewards who have thought it your privilege to ascend to the highest places and do thy first works. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Revelation 2, verse 5, 3, 2. The messenger of heaven gives this warning. It comes not from human lips, but from the lips of one who cannot be inspired by any human influence. The whole of the third chapter of Revelation is penned by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Let us hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 6. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 7 to 13. Following this message to the church in Philadelphia is the warning to the Laodicean church. And who can question its application? Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verses 14 to 16. This is a most appropriate representation of the state of those who have once known and loved the truth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verses 17, 18. In this scripture is portrayed the entire history of a church fully satisfied with its spiritual condition, but under a terrible deception. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 19. These are not words concerning which some human being can say, somebody has informed the human agent. The Lord, the true witness, speaks, and he will vindicate his word to the letter. Shall we not unitedly engage in the work of searching diligently for the prevarications and subterfuges and other evil works that God hates? Let us make most careful search, for it is a terrible thing for the very ones whom the Lord has loved and cooperated with to be spewed out of his mouth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Again is given the admonition, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 20 to 22. In the very last days of this earth's history, a revelation is given to the church. God will not leave anyone without an opportunity to hear, if he will, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Many souls have closed their hearts to light and warnings. I am now instructed to call attention to the message that Christ has borne to the churches. A crisis has come, and the call that comes to us is inspired by no human messenger. God's words are presented in order that no man shall dare to claim, I inspired this message that has been given. God gives a warning that all will soon, very soon, wish they had heard with a determined purpose to understand and to heed. What excuse can any one frame for not hearing what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches? Again, I call attention to the words, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verses 9 to 13.